China sets out ambitious goals for growth, but can its economy really match them? Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Will Bain, in for Leanna Byrne today. Great, as always, to have your company first thing in the morning. Yes, China's National People's Congress, that big annual political meeting we discussed yesterday, is underway. And the government's been laying out its aims for the year ahead. It's targeting 5% growth, which, given China's recent economic woes, feels somewhat ambitious. The BBC's Monica Miller told us more.
Just to give you a sense, last year it grew at about 5.2%, which I think some economies would absolutely love. But for China, this is a rather low number. I mean, just decades ago, we used to look at these and they would be in the double digits per year, and anything less than that was seen as a failure. So they have really kind of come back down to earth, and they really do have some serious economic headwinds their way.
Right. And those headwinds were something that the Premier Li Cheng pointed out, didn't he?
Premier Li Cheng did acknowledge in his speech that, you know, the country is facing difficulties, adding that many of these have yet to be resolved, which was a rather sobering point that he had made in speeches that tend to be full of positive attitudes and, you know, a positive outlook looking ahead. But yes, he did mention the property sector, which is one of the biggest problems China is facing right now. It is in a crisis mode, as many developers had defaulted on their debts following a crackdown on excess borrowing. The reason they were borrowing so much money is because there was over-speculation in the market. There were way too many units that were in the pipeline that just weren't going to find buyers. So what has happened is that a lot of these properties lost their value. The Chinese homeowners who had invested in these put their nest egg in there. So that has had a spill-on effect in terms of the domestic economy.
The other area that perhaps stood out, Monica, was around defense spending.
Defense spending is one of those issues that is closely watched internationally, but particularly by the United States. It sends more of a message just beyond economic stance. I mean, it's at 7.2%, which is roughly what it has been last year. But really, if you're going to read through the tea leaves here, Beijing, it tells you closely watching how much investment they're going to make in their military and what they're going to purchase, particularly over issues around Taiwan and the Taiwan Straits. So again, if that number is really consistent as it was last year, the U.S. can say, ah, you know, they're going to stay the course with their military agenda.
Monica Miller, the BBC's Asia Business reporter, thanks so much for running us all through it.
It's a pleasure to join you.
Well, sticking with East Asia, an interesting announcement from Australia's government today that it plans to set up a $1.3 billion fund to boost its trade and investment in the region. The BBC's Phil Mercer has that one.
There'll be a focus on clean energy and infrastructure. Canberra will also have to navigate the grouping's complex geopolitical relations. Cambodia and Laos have strong ties to China, while the Philippine President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. warned the potential for conflict with Beijing in the South China Sea was increasing.
That's the BBC's Phil Mercer in Sydney, Australia there. Well, security a key issue this morning, it seems. South Korea's intelligence service says North Korea has stolen trade secrets that have enabled it to make its own semiconductors. It now fears Pyongyang will use the technology to make weapons. Well, let's check in on the numbers now. And benchmarks in London, Paris and Frankfurt all down around a tenth of a percent right now. A firm that stands out amongst it all is the Swedish car maker Volvo. Its shares dropped more than 4% after it posted a fall in February sales. Now, a midweek night out used to be the norm for British college students, but sticky floors and expensive drinks have apparently lost their appeal. It's a warning from the UK's biggest nightclub operator, and the BBC's Will Chalk has been finding out why.
It's a Wednesday night in Oxford, home to one of 35 nightclubs owned by Northern Europe's largest nightlife company, Recom. It's around 10:30, it's cold, a little bit rainy and quiet. Grace Soden, Ben Wrighton and Ruby Belcher have been to dinner and then the pub, but there's no clubs on the cards.
How often are you guys going out midweek?
No, just weekends really. Well, it's just busiest then, I guess, yeah.
17 of Recom UK's clubs across the UK are closing down, though Oxford's Attic will stay open. But almost 200 miles away in the north of England, Prism in Leeds hasn't been as lucky. It's shut down, despite the city having one of the biggest student populations in the country. These students say clubbing isn't top of their social plans.
During first year, I went quite a lot, but less so now. It's just too expensive.
Don't like the queuing outside, and sometimes the entry fee is a little bit extortionate.
Peter Marks, CEO of Recom UK, says that's hit them hard.
The early week in particular has been a problem. Obviously, people still like coming out. If money is tight, are coming out later. So they're arriving at our doors later and they're spending less.
As well as losing midweek customers, Recom says rising energy costs and minimum wage increases have hit its cash flow. Mike Kill from the Nighttime Industry Association says lots of businesses are struggling.
For the last 4 years, we've really set people up to stay at home, communicate with their families, entertain themselves. What's happened now is the inflationary pressures have actually said to them, you know, I can't afford to go out as often, but I can do everything I need to do at home.
Gen Z are also more health conscious. They drink, on average, 20% less than millennials, according to analysis by World Finance magazine. But Scandinavian-based Recom says its venues in Denmark, Norway and Finland won't be shutting.
Evening, sir. Can I see your ID? Thank you very much. Have a great evening.
Just over the road from Attic in Oxford is a bar called Thirst. It specialises in flair bartending, where making the drinks is part of the entertainment for the guests. Think Tom Cruise in the movie Cocktail.
Refreshing, huh?
Oh, that's good.
I know.
Yaz Hunter is operations manager there. He says young people want more of an experience than just drinks.
There was a programme called Cheers Way Back When, where everybody knows your name. But really, with my bars, I really want to replicate that warm, welcome feel of Cheers.
Many other British clubs and bars are also trying to diversify to attract young people. But as Gen Z are drinking less and have less money to spend, the competition is fierce. In the UK, I'm the BBC's Will Chalk for Marketplace.
Brightly coloured drinks at half mast, it seems. Thanks so much for listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.